you.
I'm fucking out here blowing your back out like we're on the Senate floor.
Dude, that's a wild shit, dude. I thought it was a girl a couple times until finally it was made specific that it was homosexual anal sex. And I was like, damn.
What is good? Welcome to a brand new episode of Drag the Lake. I'm one of your hosts, Andy Malfrino. With me, as always, the late, great Pat, the Grateful Dead, George. Pat, how are you doing, you sack of fucking sexual appeal? Let me finish, you pussy.
You don't have anything chambered. Just let me be, for Christ's sake.
Dude, if I don't have anything, I always have something chambered for you, dude. Like I said, I'm always 2 seconds from fucking hitting back shots on the Senate floor with you. Damn, everyone's in the mix. Tonya, Foxtrot, 12 Roots, what is up? Thank you for fucking hopping in. Look what happens when I post ahead of time on these things.
Look at us training with that whole consistency bullshit. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Shout out Foxtrot in the chat. I will record an EP reaction. I've been a busy little bitch lately, dude.
Yeah, you've been a busy little bee running all over the place.
Yeah, man. I've been having fun doing fucking stand-up and telling these jokes and eating pussy and...
What?
Yeah, but like... On boys' butts, dude. I'm eating boy butt pussy.
Yeah, we were talking about it for a little bit right before the show, but that Senate thing, I'd seen the censored, you know, picture still or whatever.
Yeah.
And I didn't obviously know what, you know me, I don't know what's going on ever, usually. And then I was like, what is that? I was like, it's anal sex, they say. But then they said specifically it was gay anal sex. And I was like, boy, I think that's a little too much. I saw a lot over the weekend. I saw Colby Covington making fun of Leon Edwards' dad for being in hell, for being murdered at 13. By the way, a father at 13, too. Crazy.
Wait. But, Leon Edwards' dad died at 13 and Colby Covington. Because I saw him say he was in hell. I didn't realize he died at 13.
I don't know. Maybe 13 maybe was an exaggeration by somebody that I overheard, but I don't.
It's got to be a. Pat, I'll say this. Any age that ends in teen is too young.
To die in gang violence as a father. Like, you know what I mean? Like, boy, oh boy. But he said something about that. That and then also the anal sex on Senate floor. I gotta tell you, that upsets me just as much as the Capitol thing. It ultimately doesn't affect me, but I'm also like, hey, cut it out.
Hey, guys, I'm sure you love doing that. I personally not a fan.
That is not your desk. That is not, in both cases, that is not your desk. Get out of here.
That's so funny. He spray waters on a bunch of gay dudes. Like, hey, get out of here.
Come on, go on, skip.
That was funny too, because it's like, people always, well, the gay sex on the Senate floor is a big, it's a big showcase on how everyone's on a team, because you saw a bunch of conservatives sharing it, being like, see, Democrats are fucking gay. And they're all gay degenerates, you fucking gays.
It was justification for both sides somehow. They were just like, see?
But then all the people on the left were like, oh, look at these fucking Republicans just sharing gay porn on the timeline. You're like, hold on. Wait. You can't be doing that in the Senate.
It's like,
because, dude, that's what all the people who act all progressive and like open-minded and shit like that, the second they can use like, yo, you're gay and get no pussy, they fucking go for it right away. And yeah, it's like, hey, man, I'm no fan of government. I don't think that building should exist for them to have gay sex in it. But if we're going to have the building, we need a sense of order in it. And you can't be butt fucking on the Senate floor.
There's certain things where especially with the thing that like the narrative of like, see, all Democrats are gay, of kind of thing of like, you can't give them a layup. You know what I'm saying? So like this reminds me of another recent MMA news. I don't know if you're familiar with the Ian Garry story.
Yeah, we talked about it. Remember on the bye week?
Oh right, on the bye week. Sorry about that. So just an update. He ended up pulling out of his fight because he had
pulling out of his wife's husband.
he he had pneumonia. Yeah, or what I think it's known as it's in Latin, cuck sickness.
Cuckitis.
Cuckitis. He had something about with his cuck, but it's like the same idea of like you cannot give them a layup. You can't just give them all of the trash talk shit immediately. You know what I mean? Like the dad and hell thing, Kobe like took that. He didn't like it wasn't like he wasn't sitting there going like, yeah, me dad's in hell and whatever. Wait, yo, me dad's dead. Oh, he's not, he's British. He's not Australian. Mm-hmm. But like Ian Gary's like, yeah, my fucking wife's husband lives in the house with us. Who gives a fuck? It's like,
who fucking cares?
We're going to crawl all over you. This is over. Like he's got a fight booked for January. It's we're not going to forget. We're all sitting on our questions from last time. It's going to we're all waiting.
Did you see Sean Strickland getting offended with Sean O'Malley? I thought that was the funniest shit in the world. Cause I'm not gonna sit here and be like, I enjoy watching Sean Strickland exist. He's a very entertaining person. But then apparently, I forget what Sean Strickland said to him. And then
he mentioned because Sugar Sean O'Malley actually recently also admitted to having an open relationship with his girlfriend. Yeah. And because of that, he shared a story where she was like, I want to have sex with one of your friends. And he was like, hey, man, you can totally fuck my wife. It's totally okay. And that's what he brought up. And then Sean O'Malley was like, sorry, go ahead.
What did he? Oh, I can't remember the quote. He's like, hey, try not to get fucked by your dad.
he's like, my friend fucked my wife, but at least my dad didn't fuck me or something like that. And I was like, hey, whoa, what's going on here?
But I saw Sean Strickland being on Twitter being like, that's too far. And I'm like, really?
Yeah. No,
Sean, aren't you the
to say too far?
It's like, Sean, aren't you in interviews going to like Asian reporters being like, hey, what's up, Ching Chong?
Yeah, literally, he called Israel Adesanya Chinaman, and he said that he fucked dogs. So like,
but he's like, whoa,
fuck around.
When it's about me, that's too far.
Also, his dad was it was almost like an American History X story. Like he's Ed Norton, you know, like he's like the Ed Norton in American History X. Like he was in that shit, he was that, and then he was out of it. So
his
like
Nazism made him great at basketball.
He's defending a pedophile racist. He's just going, hey, don't speak ill of my dad, pal.
Well, no, reading a bunch of his tweets. A bunch of his tweets were more like, hey, man, you can't be making jokes like that. And everyone was like, Sean, you say the craziest shit to everyone all the time.
That's your thing.
Yeah, like, dude, he was literally on a podcast with, who was it? It was the Nelk boys. Yeah. And he's literally talking to this little dude on the Nelk podcast. And he's like, yeah, I'm strong. I could just fuck your wife in front of you. And it's like, dude, calm down. It's like, calm the fuck. Like, yeah, you're big and strong, but like, I mean, if we're gonna get down to it, like, I could buy a gun, Sean. Like, at the end of the day, I'm not saying I'm gonna use. Isn't a threat. I want to make it very clear, this isn't a threat. But I'm saying in a hypothetical where you're trying to fuck my wife, I can buy a gun.
So in the past year, I think in the past year, Sean Strickland has pulled a gun on a home invader. He has, I think, thrown that, you know, that tactical, the expert guy, the guy, self-defense guy, he's kind of a portly, I think he's from Michigan. Oh, Detroit.
Yeah. He's a black dude, right?
Yeah.
He has all the videos people make fun of.
Yeah. But yeah, exactly. He like threw that guy through a glass case. Like he like damaged something in a store. Trying to like beat him in a fight.
Yeah. I saw that.
Like there's multiple like things like this. So for him to say, this has gone too, like he specifically does this shit with other people, and it's crazy that like a fucking this weirdo like Sugar Sean O'Malley, who's not even in your division, and the guy who actually is this fucking weird guy that's like, I'm the only white African in the world or whatever, like Dricus du Plessis, but taking the DDP nickname, I don't like that. I think there's going to be some blowback now that WWE and UFC merged. I don't think you can use DDP anymore.
DDP technically works with AEW, so they might not have a problem. Ooh, I don't know though. That's a good point though, because I think they still own he probably goes by a different name.
Dricus du Plessis.
I wonder if WWE owns DDP. But anyway, I'm getting
we're getting sidetracked. You're right. But either way, you can't. So in that case, like there is certain things that I feel like fighters, ultimately it comes down to they're cage fighting champions. You know what I mean? Like they're fighting each other bare, you know, essentially bare knuckle. Well, 4 ounces of glove in between their knuckles and their face. Like,
yeah.
So it's like there, I feel like they should be comfortable sharing their experiences, doing podcasts and all that other bullshit. But like there's certain shit that I'm like, I feel like you're right. Like ultimately it comes down to where like everybody, even the other cage fighters are like, whoa, hey, pull it back a little bit. That's not.
I think I have to say that. Well, I think some of the yeah, it's funny. I'm usually super for saying the wild shit. But the video of Covington being like, your dad's in hell. I was even like, all right, dude, Jesus Christ. It's a fight.
Especially knowing he was murdered like when he was a baby. Like that's fucked up, dude.
Yeah, it's like Jesus, dude.
Also, like, it's gonna fuel him. You know, it's gonna fuel him.
Who's he fighting? Leon Edwards?
Yeah.
Like Leon Edwards is a chill dude, right? I don't remember seeing anything where he's like a fucking dick. Because here's the thing.
Yeah, he's not disrespectful at all. No,
like I was saying, with like Sean Strickland being in interviews with Asian reporters, being like, "Ching Chong, you eat cats, right?" It's like if Sean Strickland gets shit on, it's not as like it's funnier. But like, you know, because he's shitting on everyone else. So if he gets shit on, it's funny. But like Leon Edwards, I don't think he's got like I don't think he's causing any problems. So it's like, what the fuck he do to you, dude?
Like in that same press conference, this is the funniest thing, is in that same press conference before he started going after Sugar Sean O'Malley. And but like he also mentioned to DDP, Dricus du Plessis, the guy who's going to be fighting in January. He's now this is I'm just quoting Sean Strickland here. He said, "Why don't you go fuck your coach, faggot?"
Like, yeah, it's like
same press conference, same press. Like that's what I'm saying. It's like you're calling people hard F's, and you're you know what I mean. Like he's essentially going everywhere but the hard R. Like literally, he says like, "You're a fucking pedophile. You're fucking your girlfriend, and he's fucking your girlfriend. You fuck dogs, and you're Chinaman, Ching Chong Chinaman." Dude, and then he's like, and the people are like, "Yeah, why don't you like you got molested by your dad, you pussy?" Like, it's kind of like, wait, whoa, but also like, it's I don't know, like
that's the thing. That's why
I feel like in the like if Colby Covington said the dad thing about Sean Strickland's dad, I would be like, yeah, take that.
But that's why context is so important. It's just it's like Sean, you're entertaining as shit, but like. Bro, you hit everyone with fucking mortar rounds. You know what I mean? It's not little. Yeah. It's not little snipe
on everything. Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Dude, you drone bomb everyone, and then fucking Sean O'Malley hits you with a fucking sawed-off shotgun blast, and you're like, "Whoa, what are you doing?" Yeah, it's like, dog, you're lobbing bombs everywhere. You can't get mad if someone fucking gets a little bit out of hand on you.
Right. Yeah. I think it's ultimately. Ultimately, we are both advocates for free speech. You can say whatever you want, and you got to deal with. And these guys are going to deal with the consequences. They're fighting. It's planned. It's on the books. They're gonna. Yeah. They have a date that they're gonna go into a cage, and it's gonna get locked, and they're gonna fight each other with the. You know what I mean? I feel like ultimately they should be able to say whatever they want. But then when it's like after it's. Needlessly disrespectful. If like Leon Edwards is like, he's trash. He's just a loudmouth. I'm gonna beat him up. Blah blah blah. I'm better than him. It's also boring, but like I think that's the thing is Colby Covington thinks he's doing a good job by being shocking, whereas like Sean Strickland is just naturally super duper autistic and like not. You know what I'm saying? Like I think Colby Covington's thing is a conscious thing. He's just like, maybe I'll sell. Like this is really boring. We're not gonna get any pay per view views. I'm gonna say your dad's a fucking.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this. I will say this about like Colby Covington. Like I don't think he's proven to not be that great of a person. But like from take emotion out of it, from a pure business standpoint, he successfully makes you want to see him get beat the fuck up every time. So and from a business standpoint, the dude is very successful.
And he's a extremely talented fighter. I actually really enjoy watching him fight.
Yeah, his wrestling is like amazing. His wrestling's like amazing, right?
Like he is like he doesn't have a ton of finish power, like as far as like his hands. But his hands set up his wrestling and his grappling, which he can totally finish. So it's like he is always like perfect. He's got great cardio. He's got great, like you said, grappling and everything like that.
Does he
and
have any knockouts?
I don't think so. Like, that's what I was saying. It was like,
yeah,
I don't
he has like mainly submissions.
Yeah. So, but he's an incredible grappler, but he even got out grappled. So like he's taken a lot of time off after he got beat up by Masvidal by the way, talking shit about his kids. He talks shit about Masvidal's kids. And that's what that's what he got attacked for outside.
Oh wait,
of the
he got beat. He lost last night
by somebody. I don't know. By yeah. Oh yeah.
Leon Edwards.
No, he didn't.
No. Wait. Am I looking at the wrong thing?
Maybe.
Wait. Yeah, when who are we talking about? Colby. Who are you talking about?
Colby Covington got attacked. He was out of the. He had not fought for over or for about a year or so because he got attacked by. Oh, so you're talking about Leon Edwards
last night.
Yeah, Colby Covington got attacked by somebody. I don't. Allegedly, it was Jorge Masvidal. Let me just say that outside of a steakhouse in Miami.
No, it was definitely Jorge, right? Didn't they have video of it?
I mean, whoever it was wearing a mask, and I don't feel comfortable saying anything about Jorge Masvidal allegedly, but he's not going to watch this. But like, if for some reason, if this, you know,
Masvidal on record as a goon, like I'm bigging up Masvidal.
The only reason, actually, I believe Masvidal did get caught was because he, after Colby Covington got attacked, he said, you know, that's what happens, I guess, you get attacked by when you say stupid shit. And it's like, are you taking credit for this crime? And he was like, yes. Oh, damn it. And then, I think because he dropped the charges. Oh, what?
Tonya saying, like, didn't I? Oh. It was like public news that he fucking attacked him.
Yes, I was joking that, but he still was not pleading guilty to attacking him. But they were
I'll lie under oath for Masvidal. Don't get it twisted.
There were charges pressed, and there were going to go to court. But I think because he dropped the charges on Masvidal, is why he was afforded his first fight back. Was given a title shot at number three. It's a thing where there were charges for a while, but then he ended up dropping them before they actually. Did anything with them, but it's 100% that but Masvidal's like, no, I wouldn't do something like that.
That's why Masvidal rules. It's like the classic clip where it's like, why do you keep punching him? And he's like, the ref didn't call the fight yet. He's like, my job is to fight. And he didn't. And you're like, oh, that's why he's a fucking. And then when he was on Rogan the one time where remember when he was in the interview and then he like jumped out to fight that guy and they were they asked him like, what'd you say to the cops? And he's like, oh, me no speak English. He's like, me no, and I don't know why I did an Asian accent. I'm not good at him. But I'm a Masvidal. Me no speak English. Oh,
give me a chimichanga. And this is a funny thing too, because this is how split I am on this, right? Is the fact that, like, when Masvidal, I say sucker punched, but I'm not a street fella, you know what I mean? But when he went up with his hands behind his back and was talking, and him and Leon were talking shit, they were talking shit to each other, and then he punched him twice, and he gave him a three-piece in a soda or whatever, which I think I only counted two, but he got pulled off him and all that shit. I was kind of disgusted by that. So this is a weird thing that I go that the MMA community goes back and forth with a lot of times, and it's something that relates to last night too, because Sean Strickland ended up attacking Dricus du Plessis in the crowd at the UFC 96 event. I don't know if you saw that.
No,
they got into a huge fight. And so when people do crazy reckless things, so like when Khabib jumped out of the cage to fight Dylan Danis, it was like I just watched a clip about it on a countdown on like MMA on Point about like the times where UFC didn't even follow their own rules. So like they like, if you attack somebody outside of the cage, like that's it, it's game over. Like you probably will never fight for the organization again, unless you're
that's the on paper rules though,
right? And there's exceptions will be made. So like, so Masvidal attacking Leon Edwards, I was like, hey, what the fuck? Leon Edwards was happy to talk shit, happy to sell the fight, give him a shove, give him something else. But like he wasn't expecting you to punch. And that's the thing is I feel like it is certain times where it's just my perspective. But a lot of times, like Connor throwing a dolly through the window, everybody's like, Connor's such a reckless asshole. He's such a piece of shit. And it's like, I thought you liked this behavior. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard to tell when when do you like erratic behavior by
people? that's the reality of the situation with like all the MMA shit is they try to act like they're better than wrestling, but it's like the wrestling same. The WWE shit you guys do is what sells fights, so you're not better. And also I think the reality of the situation is like UFC, I think they're like, you guys don't do that, but then secretly they're like, fucking yes. You know, I think it's like with the Conor thing, that definitely probably went a little too far, because I think he got like glass in people's eyes and shit that. But I think at the end of the day, here's the reality of the situation. These guys are fucking fighters. That's why, like, they're fucking fighters. They're savages. They're insane people. Like, you have to be a little fucking insane to want to go into the ring, to go into the octagon and have someone who's just as strong as you punch you in the fucking face for 25 minutes or whatever the fuck. So I think the reality of the situation, why there should be some leeway, like, I saw Dana White talking about it, where he was, like, when Strickland, what was the dude's name, Dreykus?
Dreykus Duplessis,
yeah, when Strickland was punching Dreykus, I saw a clip of Dana White. Dana White wasn't like being like, Sean, why'd you do that? He was like, who the fuck sat them near each other? And because I think that's I think that's the reality of the situation is you have a bunch of dudes who are strong as fuck. They're rowdy motherfuckers, and you have to have a little leeway if they're going to get a little bit rowdy from time to time. Also, like obviously you need a certain there needs to be a limit. Like, you can't be getting glass in people's eyes, but if there's a dust up here and there, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, because everybody you can take, but that's the thing is these guys are fighting in a month, and this thing was brought up was the fact that yes, you're selling the fight, but now if you fucking break your hand, or if you fall down, you hurt yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you, because you're on cement. This is my problem with like I've told you many times about like those street fight videos. It's not just the poor technique that bothers me, but it's also the fact that it's like so dangerous. It's so dangerous for no reason. Just if you want to fight each other, go find a safe place to fight each other and fight. Do you know what I'm saying? It's the same thing with when other people start jumping in. Also, everybody feels really comfortable throwing out some soft N's and hard R's when they're fucking fighting nowadays. Every fight, one person is, yeah, what up? And it's like, you're dropping ends and it's two white children fighting in a suburban neighborhood, and it's just this weird thing of like,
oh, I've seen some of those. Remember, it was the white kid yelling at his Asian teacher.
Yeah, and it's like, wait, what?
I think that comes from, because a lot of people, this might be a good way to segue into actually talking about music, but no, I like the MMA talk, and I think the boys like it too. So
we kept it tight.
We got a lot of other content on this channel. If you guys have missed it, I've been doing Dance Gavin Dance full album recaps. Those have been, people have been really enjoying those. I was surprised. I've been trying to figure out the next one I want to do. I've got a few up in the air. I was thinking Every Time I Die, but then I'm like, no, me and Pat have to do that one together.
We could do that. I'd be up for that.
Yeah, I think an Every Time I Die discography would be fucking sick. We might have to bank those, because I feel like those will take forever. So it'll be a while till we may not be able to record every weekend with those. Mm-hmm. But Brock was saying Mugshot goes hard. Yes, everyone needs to listen to fucking Mugshot so fucking often. They're my fucking boys right now. I was also thinking about, I might do Brand New's discography, and I also might do Bring Me the Horizon's discography, because I think they're both, those two groups have a substantial shift from start to finish. Like, Bring Me the Horizon, they start as like a deathcore band, and then they were funny because they started out deathcore and then they segued into like goth girl pop music. And now they're kind of like slowly bringing back the metalcore that got a lot of dudes like me into them.
Yeah.
And I think,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. What were you saying?
I would think Norma Jean would be, especially that shift. I think Norma Jean would be another good discography, because they really shift a lot from Bless the Martyr, Kill the Child, or whatever the fuck it is.
That'd be a good one to do together, because you're substantially more emotionally invested in them than me. I would love to listen to your perspective on that. That's the fun thing about doing those full album reactions, is like, it's not just me listening to the album and I'm going, oh boy, howdy, this is fun. And then next song, like, I was watching it, the last Dance Gavin Dance album I talked about, The album's like 40 minutes long, and the video ends up being like an hour, hour 10. So, yeah, like, you get like 30 minutes of me talking and breaking it down and stuff like that. But I was also thinking about doing Brand New, just because they start out as like power pop emo band, and then they transition into like the greatest indie rock band of all time. And I just think that that's always a interesting shift. What's Tonya saying? Under Oath would be good to see the shifts in the band. Yeah.
What, yeah. What was the other ones that you were saying? You were saying that you were going to do, oh, Every Time I Die. Yeah. I'm writing them down just in case.
Well, we'll do that one together. I think we should record those. We'll bank them, and then we can start releasing them at a later date and shit. But sorry, I'm a little.
We're both a little under the weather. Sorry.
No, I'm not under the weather. I'm just losing my voice because I was sick. I was sick earlier in the week. I basically stopped being sick around Wednesday, but then I have all these shows, so I've just been talking a bunch, smoking cigarettes and drinking beer, and it's just not. Dude, it was fucking brutal. I did a set last night. Set last night was rough. It was only 10 minutes, and I'd literally have to stop, and I'd just be like, ha! And then I'd turn to everyone and be like, I'm so sorry, guys. I'm so sorry. But they were super chill. And then I did 20 minutes the night before, and that was fucking brutal. But all I have to do later today is I have to go do Sydney Gant's podcast, and my voice is actually feeling not too bad. I feel like I sound cool and rugged now, so I'm pretty excited for the rest of this day.
Sounds gravelly. Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. Do you got anything? I got a few things here and there music-wise, but nothing I'm, like, overly passionate about, except for one thing. I texted you about this the other night, but have you been?
Oh, yeah.
You want to talk about that?
I mean, we don't like to be negative on the show.
We don't like to be. Here's the thing. We don't like to be negative. We don't like. But I really want to talk about this just because it's like whenever. If the band that we're about to talk about ends up seeing this, I want them to know this comes from like a place of love.
Right.
And because it's like I've been listening to them forever and they're like still pumping out music. And it's like it really brings up the question, like, when's it time to just fucking, like, either hang it up or, it sounds so negative, but like, it's like either hang it up or just like, just become like a greatest hits, like, dude, become a nostalgic. So what we're talking about, so we can actually dig into this, is Sum 41 just dropped new music. And it's not that it's just bad. It's that it's like so phoned in bullshit that it's like offensive.
It is formulaically bad. It is like they designed it to be our least favorite things. Like it's literally everything, like every way you could just fake your way through a pop punk song. Legitimately, the second song, there's two songs. Right? Isn't there only two?
Yeah.
And it's legitimately the second song is just I thought it was a cover of that fucking Machine Gun Kelly song.
Yeah.
I said that to you. I was like, what the fuck is this?
So I was so offended by the first one. I like barely got into the second one. So I didn't have enough time to like analyze it. And then when you texted me saying it was like basically a Machine Gun Kelly song, I go, that's what it fucking is.
It's like you took his mold. It's like, dude, I understand reinventing yourself, but I think this is why bands take those hiatus, like, hey, hiatus. And they just take a break, but they, it is because like I'm certain, dude, you cannot tell me, I'm sorry, I'm throwing shit now, you can't tell me that they're in the studio going like, yeah, fuck yeah, dude, you know what I mean, like listening to this and go like, oh my god, we did it. You know what I'm saying? Like, this sounds like, so
that's,
I think,
wait, can I interrupt real quick? Cause that is such a great point, because like I remember one of the most egregious examples back in the day was, Less Than Jake. They had their one album In With The Out Crowd. Cause I'll give Less Than Jake props. Now they are real bad. Actually, to a comment Tonya just said, he goes, I can't take Sum 41 seriously with the singer holding on to the same style as he had in 2001. That is the lead singer of Less Than Jake. It's like, dog, you are 75. You don't have to keep spiking your hair. It's fine,
denim,
dude.
Denim cutoff vest and like all the other shit. Of like, are you comfortable? It's like we were talking about any of those other bands, like the Strokes or the Hives or any of that. Like, you're making a weird choice.
But my point with with the Out Crowd is, like, Less Than Jake's a great band. They're great. They're like a punk band with horns. You know what I mean? Yeah. Everyone always call, like, they're one of those ska bands. They're a punk band with horns over the fucking choruses and shit. And
they respect
And when they came out with In With The Out Crowd, it was like the reason it was offensive, it was like, oh, you guys are clearly going for something. But at the same time, if that was just like how they sounded, you'd be like, this is an okay, like, pop album or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
You could tell that Less Than Jake was in the studio going, we're trying to get a little more mainstream, but we're going to try to, like, do that in a good way. With fucking, are your cats fucking each other up?
Yeah, hold on. I got to throw something at him.
But, like, with this Sum 41 song, it's like, dude, there's no chance any of you were in the studio being like, this fucking rips. Because right. I'll give Sum 41 credit. They're like, they've put out good shit throughout the years. Like, there's definitely dips here and there. Like, I've always joked, like, Underclass Hero, just complete dog shit. Screaming Bloody Murder wasn't the best, but they had good shit on it. 13 Voices was really good. Order in Decline, I didn't listen to it that much, but it did have some good shit on it. So it's like,
wait, are those all, like, albums of theirs?
Yeah.
Damn.
No, I just made up a bunch of names.
Well, no, you're reading it off, and I was like, holy shit. I was like, do they really have that many albums? That's crazy. Sorry.
But the thing is, it's like, it's not like Sum 41's been pumping out bullshit music.
They've had
a few stinkers of songs on those albums, but as a whole, all their albums have been, like, not too bad. Like, if you've been into Sum 41 since day one, all their albums haven't been that bad. And then you hear these two songs and you're like, what the fuck happened? Yeah. Also, I think we said this, I feel like I've said this before about other bands, but it's like, guys, you're Sum 41 in the year 2024.
Right.
2023. Sorry, this album comes out 2024. You're Sum 41 in the modern age. You're not going to have this big fucking resurgence. So just put out some shit you want to make.
Try something new. Try something you want to do. You have an audience. You have a following. You can do stuff. Like, Chuck was a little bit different than their other shit. Like, each one of their shit gets a little bit different from each one. And that's the thing. Look, dude, if they had put out a fucking techno album, if they put out a fucking trap rap album or some shit like that, you know what I'm saying? Like, if they just turned into fucking, like, a future cover band, I don't give a shit, dude. Like, it's something different.
Nah,
something
trap
new
album
that
would suck.
It would suck, but this also sucks. That's what I'm saying but I don't believe, like, I cannot believe that they are so oblivious that they're sitting in the studio fucking rocking out to this demo and going, like, I can't wait to release this. And I think this is the point I was making earlier was, I think bands get to this point because a lot of times you'll hear them go, like, hey, we're gonna go back in the studio and we'll see you next time for the tour or something like that. And then, like, in a couple months they go, like, hey, we're gonna take a hiatus. I think because they get into the studio and they go, like, what do you got? Nothing. I don't know. What do you got?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know what I'm saying? And then they probably go, like, why don't we just take a break for a little bit? Or let's do a cover album, or let's do a fucking something else to keep you a little bit, like, you can do something easy and fun, but you don't have to, like, jeopardize your.
Well, can I say this real quick? You know what I think it is with a band like Sum 41 is they're not, like, I'm trying to think of an example of a band who, like, I don't know, it, like, this is just the first one to pop into my head. Like, Billie Eilish is the biggest act. She's at a current point where if she took a break for 5-10 years, whenever she comes back with a new album, that shit's going to pop off.
Yeah.
Sum 41's not, like, they're not at that place where,
right,
if they go on a hiatus for, like, 5-10 years, you know, and they come back and they're like, Sum 41's back with a new album, I love them, but, like, most people are going to go, all right, cool, whatever. You know, so there is probably an element of, in their head, of, like, they don't want to go away for too long.
But
they don't want to go away for too long because they don't want to like lose. They don't want people to forget about them. And then when they come back, people kind of like shrug their shoulders. But also at the same time, it's like if you don't got anything, like you don't need to, like you don't need to do an album. Now, I will say one more thing. One more thing on that. I don't know. So I was just watching this video about Frank Ocean that was actually super interesting where I don't know if you listen to Frank Ocean, but he had an album. He had like a whatever it was, 2-3 album deal with Def Jam. And his last album he put out was called Blonde. And he didn't want to put that out on Def Jam because then he wouldn't own it. They'd get all the money. So he kind of like tricked Def Jam. And he's got like, oh, I got this new album. I'm going to do a whole art piece with it, yada, yada, yada. And then he essentially put out a fucking like Andre 3000 sleep sounds type thing while he posted. It was actually like, I'm like whatever about Frank Ocean. I don't get fucking, I don't get like bricked up for him like everyone else does. But to be able to like, to quote Kanye West, whoop diddy scoop a fucking record label like that, it's actually kind of hilarious and impressive. But he literally posted this fucking long video of him building a staircase while just like fucking background music played forever. And then he was like, that's my album. And then there, and then like, you know, he had to be let out of his deal, and then he actually posted his next real album, Blonde, a lot later. So there is an element of it, like, maybe they're in, maybe they have a record deal and they're trying to get out of it, but I still, it's like, guys, where are you?
But it's like,
but it's also like, at the same time, it's like, I'm trying to like, look at both sides of it, and it's like, guys, like, where are you going? You know what I mean? Like, you're not going anywhere. Like, take some time and wait till you actually give a shit about what you're putting out. The only excuse for this is if the record label is like, we need a fucking album right now. That's like the only excuse in my book for this dog shit.
But this is, but the problem is it's so oblivious. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not even something.
We should kind of break down the songs a little bit just for context. So,
there's nothing to break down. You've heard these songs. You literally.
But I'm saying specifically. Like, so the second song doesn't really need to be broken down. Just go listen to Machine Gun Kelly. That's the second song. And then the first song, the thing that like really got me is like I always joke like with Blink-182 where like when they put out that first song Edging and it hits you with the zoom ba-dum, doom, ba-dum, boom, and you're like whenever a band starts doing that when they never do that ever, you're just like, oh, they're phoning it in. And like there's another one where they were like, I forget exactly how it went, but they were hitting like a 4 on the floor with a bunch of fucking effects over the vocals and the guitar and stuff like that, and it just sounded like it sounded like a slightly punk rock version of some like butt rock, like modern rock butt rock song, and then they just went into a fast punk part that I was like, this sounds like a fucking deconstructed version of a Sum 41 song. But honestly, though, it just sounded like a fast punk song. That was the worst part of it. I was like,
it didn't sound like them.
That was the worst part. It's not even that these songs were bad. They just didn't sound like Sum 41 songs.
It sounded like it's like when you have a sound alike in like a reality or show, something like that, where you're like, is that Teenage Wasteland? Or is that, oh no, that's just a song that they hired a band to create a song that reminds you of the song Teenage Wasteland. So like there's specific ways that people can do that. This definitely feels like
Bob O'Reilly, just to be technical.
What is it?
The song's actually called Bob O'Reilly.
What did I say?
Teenage Wasteland. That's a common mistake because they say they say Teenage Wasteland 1,000 times in that song.
You know what I was thinking, actually? I thought I was referring to the song Teenage Dirtbag.
Oh, okay.
That's my bad in every way. But yes, you're right.
Well, so no, that's my favorite. If you want to get a boomer to spaz or just a rock fan to spaz, call Bob O'Reilly Teenage Wasteland.
And yeah, you know Teenage Wasteland.
And then it's like, so what it's called. And then you look in their face and you go, I don't give a shit.
I can't believe they had, or do this, go like, I cannot believe that The Who, they were able to afford The Who to write their opening song for CSI.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy that they hired them specifically to write that song for that show.
And then if
it works great with the show when he takes his sunglasses off and they go, yeah.
And like, then
I can't believe they thought of that.
And then if people keep trying to argue with you, you go, "You're the guitarist is probably a pedophile, so shut the fuck up."
Yeah. You really want to keep tugging at this fucking this thread? You really want to do that? You're going to lose a lot of sweater, bud.
Yeah, yeah. There's a bunch of child porn on my computer for a documentary I've never put out. Yeah.
What's the song called? And they're like, "Teenage Wasteland?" Like,
it's called, your guitarist was on Epstein Island. It's called Teenage Wasteland. But actually, to be fair, right? I don't know if he was on Epstein Island. He probably wanted to be, though.
Right, like he has probably, he's the one probably with all the documents.
Yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, it's the funniest story ever. The guitarist of The Who, they found like a bunch of child porn on his computer, and he said, "No, I'm what Tonya said."
He didn't
what
say
Tonya said. Is. He go yeah. He said he didn't deny. Because here's the thing: if I can be CIA Andy for a second, CIA
this is
Andy,
not alleged, by the way. This is what he said.
But no, people have. I forget if they've actually proven it, but there is a theory that like the CIA will put child porn on people, like hack their computers. Like if they have a target they want to like take down to like besmirch their name, they will put child porn on their computer. I feel like I should stop saying the actual word. They'll put CP on their computer, and then it
cherry Pepsi. Why would they put cherry Pepsi on their computer?
Who doesn't like cherry Pepsi?
Me. I like cherry Coke.
Fair enough. But no, they'll put cherry Pepsi on their computer. And that's so fucking funny.
I want to call CP Cherry Pepsi from now on. Cheese pizza. Yeah, they put cheese pizza all over there. That's what Pizzagate was, right? They put cheese pizza all over their
hot dogs theaters. And pizza. Yeah, dude. Yeah, dude. Hot dogs and
pizza.
Fucking Obama needs 60,000 hot dogs. Sure.
Okay.
He's that hungry. What? Drone bombing get you hungry? Anyway. Don't forget 41 minutes. I want to fucking edit out that word when I repost it on the panties page. But anyway, fuck, what was I saying? Oh yeah, the guitarist had a bunch of cherry Pepsi on his computer, and he didn't deny it because that's the thing the CIA has done where they pump cherry Pepsi on people's computers to besmirch their name. He was like, "No, that's my cherry Pepsi, but I'm using it to research a documentary to combat human trafficking." And then I don't think the documentary came out.
I'm simply doing a taste test, my friend. This cherry Pepsi is strictly for science. I'm not enjoying it. I'm spitting it back out. This is a blind taste test. I got this cherry Pepsi on my computer strictly for scientific reasons. That's it. And that stood up in court.
I was just swirling it around in my mouth and spitting it back out.
And they're like, "Can you do that thing where you do the windmill thing with the guitar?" And he's like, "Yeah, I can still do that." And they're like, "You're free to go."
Dude, that's so fun. Oh, yeah.
And they're like, "Here's your CP, friend." Don't forget that.
Cherry Pepsi. That changes the Coke Pepsi challenge so much.
Yeah, it's a different blind taste test. Again, that was part of the research that was being done on Epstein Island. They were doing simple blind taste tests.
But I don't know how we got there. But either way, Sum 41, stop drinking cherry Pepsi.
Yeah, you guys got to stop with the children's Pepsi.
Yeah, it just, you know, it goes back to like my wrestling reference where it's like bands need to be more. I don't know, maybe it's like I feel like the perspective's hard just because, you know, in a band at that point, you know, you're trying to make money. It's getting harder now and all this and that. So it's a whole different thing. But I guess from a fan perspective, when you look at the overall legacy and then you see stuff like this, it's like, I don't know. It's just annoying, especially too, like, I don't know. Being a fan of pop punk. Now it is satisfying seeing all these like rappers essentially adopt emo and pop punk stuff and stuff. It's like it's weirdly validating in a way with like all the times you got called fucking dumb or gay or whatever for like in pop punk and emo shit, and you're like, well, cool ass rappers are stealing it, so you're actually dumb. But also at the same time, it's like, I don't know, it's just like annoying when you spent your whole life defending the fact that you like pop punk. And then they put out bullshit like this, and you're like, "Well, what the fuck was all that for, then, dude? If this is what you're gonna do to me."
But also, my biggest complaint a lot of times about who's that fucking really popular chick-led metal band, Dream
Spirit
something?
Box?
Spirit Box, yeah. Like, yeah. Spirit Box not being the best representation of metal, of like, these guys have like, are established as, and this was my point, what I was trying to say earlier was, when you get into the studio and you write these two songs, let's say you spent fucking studio time making these two songs. Okay, very much regrettable. The first song, Rise Up, is it has no identity of Sum 41. It doesn't remind me of them. It doesn't sound like them. It doesn't feel like them. Like, no part of it. And no matter what, in all of the other like Sum 41 releases, I feel like there was still their identity in it, whether I liked it or not.
Dude, and
it was still them. It was still them making the thing.
And I'll say this, as a dude who's been keeping up with Sum 41 releases, like, they did. Like, that 13 Voices album, I was like, yo, I think they're back. Like, that shit was good.
Right. But they have this weird thing where, like I said, when you write the song, I trust, and that's why I'm not, like, letting them off the hook or I'm being nice or something like that. I think they know better. I'm not only mad, but I'm also disappointed. Like, it's both of those things of, like, you guys know better. So, like, if you get these two songs written and then you sit there, unless you go like, hey, this will be a good, like you said, a good opportunity for us to break into the mainstream by sounding exactly like Machine Gun Kelly. Unless that was their strategy, which also I do not support, and I do not.
It will not work.
Right. Dude, it won't work.
There's been so many bands now that like try to do every year. There's bands that try to do that. Like, the most egregious example was like A Day to Remember, and it's like, it might work if you're a newer band, but like, you know, it was going with that
you're too late to make that shift. Yeah.
The Little Lotus guy, he's like, he's kind of still newish, but I feel like he's another example. And it's like, dude, you're too late into this shit to just put out a random pop album and become mainstream. It just doesn't, like, The Devil Wears Prada is kind of trying to do it. Like, all these bands try to do it. And it's like, just stop. Just, like, I'm trying to think.
Start a different band and do it that way, because you're not going to be able to shift it over. You're not going to be able to say, like, well, all these people liked this thing.
Well, because you're putting out this music. You're putting out this music that none of your long-term fans are going to like.
Right.
And now you're trying to get a bunch of new fans to make you a big fucking pop star. And the only way to do that is to get, like, the only way to do that realistically is to get young kids and mainly young girls into your shit.
Right.
And you're all in your late 30s. They're not, but, like...
They're probably older than that.
Well, I'm just saying, generally speaking, like A Day to Remember, you're all in your late 30s, early 40s, with all these bands that try to do this shit. You know, so you're not, like... Because literally, if you look... That's why Taylor Swift's so popular. Billie Eilish. Like, I don't know 100% what it is, but whatever young girls like is the most popular shit, is the most money-making shit. And dudes in their late 30s and early 40s is never, ever, ever what young girls are into. That's why you see all these boy bands that look gender ambiguous and shit. You know, like all those K-pop bands. The fucking One Direction when they were popular, you notice that, like, all these bands that get popular have this, like, it's either a girl, it's either a boy that has like an ambiguous gender, or it's a girl that makes like normal looking girls feel good about themselves.
Yeah. Like, well,
those are the two equations.
Lowell Young, the girl I shared that music video with you last time. She, like, it's one of those things of like, oh, she's so sexy. She's like so relatable. And it's like, she's talented.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this one, but what, like you said, you're right. But like, it's the confidence thing. But
well, Billie Eilish and like Taylor Swift are two perfect examples. Cause like Billie Eilish was always like, she was always bigger than the average pop star, but she's also got huge honkers and is hot.
Big old
and
tits,
Taylor Swift's the same way. She's cute.
Her tits are tiny. She got tiny tits. A little
all right,
hungry.
Well,
tits.
The scale isn't specifically big honkers, Pat.
Also, no ass on her. Black eyes, like a doll's eyes.
But what I'm trying to say is, like, they're both very pretty, but they also have aspects to them. Shut up. I hate this shit where people are like, Taylor Swift's so mid.
I don't think she's attractive at all. I think she's a goofy looking girl. Like she's
That's actually fucking crazy. That's an opinion you chose to have. That's fucking crazy.
I'm telling you, I've seen her with my eyes, man. I see her. She's okay.
She's not a fucking 10 out of 10, but people are always being like, she's so fucking mid. She's cute.
She's very, I think that's the best way. I don't use that term a lot by any means. I don't feel comfortable with it a lot of times, but she's mid. I think the definition of mid.
Fair enough.
Look wise.
I'm not going to argue this. You're choosing to have that opinion. like but they're
my point was though, is the fact that like you're not fooling anybody. You're like you said, you're not going to do this, but you can still put out a piece of you. You can still be you and put out like, what are everyone in the band pick songs that you want to cover and like do a cover album where it's like, you can add, like, again, as long as you don't do it like Weezer, you can have fun with it and make them your own and write, do a song. Like, and then if there is a simplistic pop punk song that you want to cover, you can do that. And it's like, at least then, because this is like, if I can put it frankly, like to put it the best way I can.
Put it patly, dude. Who the fuck is Frank?
These all right, I'm going to put it patly then. All right. Don't sound
that
like
that needs to be a new segment. Time for putting it patly.
Squeed up, boob out, beep boop. No, I think that they have a these aren't their songs. Like these sound, they don't sound like they wrote them. That doesn't sound like they. It doesn't. Like I said, it doesn't at all sound like Sum 41. So there's no identity of theirs. There's no fingerprint of their like stamp of approval. You know what I'm saying? There's no
fingerprint. Can I say this? Can I say this point off of what you just said?
Yeah.
So I've been making the joke on a lot of ever since that Slipknot album came out.
Right.
I've been making the joke on a lot of these albums that just sound bland, mm-hmm. and I've been making the joke. I go, they sound like they typed into an AI music generator, give me a Slipknot song. That was my problem with the last album, and it's happened a couple times with certain bands where you're like, it's not bad, but it just has no heart into it. And now I'm getting to a point where I go, are they literally doing that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You might be right. Yeah.
Because I've seen, like, now, I'll say this. I don't 100% know the process. I don't know if it's literally you type into a fucking program and it gives you a song. Yeah. But I heard, like, dude, I heard a song where it's Kanye West doing a country song. You know what I mean? Like, I've heard these songs where they're just AI generated. And, like, bro, you can AI generated these super complex fucking images and you can AI generate videos like... You could AI generate a fucking song. And who's to say, like, these bands aren't just being like, I don't know what to fucking do. Let's get help from the AI shit.
Right. But that's what I'm saying is, like, that's my issue is if they can't act like, you can't sit there and act like you don't know what to do as professional artists for this long, for most of my lifetime, at least. You know what I mean? Like, I have known about Sum 41 a lot of times. For a lot of time or a long time of my life. What? Metal cover
he's
album?
Going off what you said. Dude, exactly, actually, yeah. Because... Metal cover album?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tonya, Sum 41 Metallica medley from the MTV. That shit was nuts. That actually got me into Metallica.
Right.
Because I was into Sum 41. They were covering Metallica real... Dude, that actually would be fucking sick if Sum 41 did a metal cover... Metal album... A cover metal album cover of album. Metal songs.
Yeah,
that was a weird word to get tripped up on. Okay? I had a really hard time with that. That was crazy. Really gotcha.
Well, I think
I've been drinking.
Even if Sum 41 covered the Black Album by Metallica, like you could even something as simplistic as that, like make do concept. I love concept albums. That's a time, but this isn't a concept album. This isn't a fucking. This is just a run of the mill fucking two songs I've heard a million fucking times. And it has no heart. There's no soul, and absolutely could be AI generated. I don't know how, and then I don't know why artists would want to do that. And if they are getting to a point where they're like, I don't know what to do. Really, you don't even think about doing a cover album or writing again concept something like think about a big swing that you want to take that's in a new direction or something like that. Yeah. You want to make a new genre or something like that. I've been seeing a lot of times online. Lately of people calling undistorted metalcore or math rock, a new genre of like emo math or something like that, or like, and it's like,
it's
not a new genre. Yeah, but if they took a swing towards that, if they tried a genre, a new genre or something like I was saying earlier, a rap album, it would suck. It would probably be terrible, but I wouldn't be sitting here going like, why'd you guys fucking do that, you idiots? It'd be like, oh, they tried something, not for me, but hey, good for them for trying something new and trying something different. Like, this is not new, this is not different, and I don't believe that they even had anything to do with it. It's so crazy that they would put their stamp of approval. And if they did have something to do with it, if they all sat down and wrote this and were like, and like I said, sitting in the studio going like, yeah, this fucking, like this part right here, where we switch the chord to the next chord. Whoa! It's like, you're not doing anything. You're not inspired. You have to realize that. You have to be either that. I don't think Sum 41 is the kind of people that are just going to have a bunch of yes men around them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they have that kind of entourage. No disrespect or anything like that, but like you said, you know, they're not as big as they have been in the past, so I'm sure there's not a bunch of people going like, this is sick, dude, you should put this out. So
yeah, but also too,
why did you do this?
But also too, they're a band that like people are so fucking hype for. So like, you can you're not gonna have that big Sum 41 resurgence. Like, you're just not. That's not to say you're a bad band, but it's just you're not gonna have that. So like, you might as well just ride this out, being like, what would make our fans happy?
Do the thing. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, and it's Tonya with the comment about the metal album, because like, I didn't even think about that, but when he said that, it was like a fucking light went off. I was like, that's literally the most perfect thing they could fucking do. And I think like it reminds me of when I used to work for this company called Uline, and it was like warehouse work, and I sort of got distracted from how bad the job, like from how annoying and bad the job was, from like how well they paid us. They paid us really well at that. So, you know, the job sucks, but then you come home and you're able to pay all your bills and you're like, well, I guess it doesn't suck that much. And then then when I got out of that job and I got to another job and I started noticing, like, dude, like, I remember at my new job, I needed like a longer lunch break because I had a dentist appointment, and I was like freaking out because I forgot to schedule that. And I go up to my boss, and my boss is just like, oh yeah, dude, no problem. At my last job, that would have been a whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
Like, I would have gotten written up and all this shit. And it's like, once you get some distance from, like, when you're in the middle of a shitty thing and you're just doing it day after day, you lose sight of how shitty it actually is.
And then
once you get some distance from it, you get a better perspective of like, oh yeah, that was a bad thing we were doing. And it's like, maybe some bands need to do that, where, you know, maybe it's not like, you know, maybe you need to like mentally remove yourself from the idea of just like doing the Sum 41 thing, and then and then having a broader perspective on like what would be the best decision for Sum 41 to do, because this clearly isn't.
If you can't take a hiatus like that, I think that's what you're explaining. That's when most bands would take a hiatus and just take a little break and just think about shit and do a side project. Don't do side project. Take some time off. Like, as comics, a lot of times we talk about this. We're like, if you're just only doing just comedy and nothing else, you're going to alienate yourself, because all your jokes are going to be about travel. They're all going
to
be about,
you have to be a person.
When you're in a nightclub, like, not you know what I mean? Like, not a lot of people can relate to it, because it's usually their night out. So like, you have to live life. You have to gain experiences. You have to have that. So like, I'm sure, but you can also do those full album tours, like where we're going to play for Does This Look Infected 23rd anniversary or whatever. Like,
yeah,
we're going to do that. We're going to go on tour with, what's another huge, like a big band at that, like River Phoenix or Phoenix TX or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, another, is that a big,
that was your pick for a big band?
I was going to say Bowling for Soup, but I was like, well, that's probably bigger. I should have said Bowling for Soup. like, you know what I mean? Like, make
Bowling
one of
those. Bowling for Soup could tour on that one album.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's like, all the bad boys.
Everybody's doing that album that you like or something like that. Like, do that. If you can't take a hiatus, like, you financially cannot take time off from the band, maybe, unless it's a financial or a contractual agreement with a record company and you have to have something, again, do something else. Do something creative in a better way.
Schedule that Phoenix TX tour, dude. I'm sorry. I don't know why that made me
laugh. No. You're absolutely, that's why I'm just taking it, because you're absolutely right. That's like, I'm like, come on, Pat, pull a cool pop punk band from the early 2000s. Somebody, you know, they were Phoenix. Oh, sorry. No, though. They're Phoenix TX now. They changed.
That's how popular they are. I knew them. You knew them as a more, you knew them as a more famous entity.
Yeah, I knew them as a better name. What about Jughead's Revenge? You ever heard of that?
Bro, just call up Phoenix TX and Mest and do that.
Get Mest, get Jughead's Revenge, get fucking Phoenix TX. Just get, hit go up, ahead. Get
a Lagwagon and Millencolin, and actually,
yeah,
people would be hyped for Lagwagon and Millencolin.
Actually, Millencolin got pretty big. They actually did, I think, get pretty popular, because there was at one point, one of my sisters-in-law, one of Dom's sisters, mentioned that she had a Melancholy album, but it was their like brand new one, and she liked that, and I was like, oh, they kind of did get, I guess, maybe not mainstream, but...
Wait, who are you talking about, Melancholy?
I call them Melancholy, but is it Melancholy?
Yeah, Melancholy.
Okay, that's one of those things where, like, I've loved them my whole life. They've been one of my go-tos early on. That was one of my go-tos. That was probably a top five for Patty, if I'm speaking Patly, that was top five for a while.
Well, they were one of those bands that like,
oh,
like,
wow,
a lot of people
Phoenix TX is actually still pretty good. I just saw them saw them at WWW
when we were young,
got it. This year. Nice. Sorry,
but Yeah. Okay. I was about to bring up Tony Hawk Pro Skater. Mm. There were a lot of bands that benefited from Tony Hawk Pro Skater, but I think like Millencolin might have been one of the top bands, because what's the fucking song?
No Cigar.
No Cigar. That song fucking rips.
It's a perfect song. That is a good example of a perfect song. I would love to do a Millencolin album review too. They legitimately, they have such a fun, weird catalog. And yeah, I think it was later on in life that I realized that they were like foreigners. They're not American. And
excuse me.
Yeah, they ain't from here. God, their colors do run.
They're Swedish.
Yeah. But I was also like, and then I could hear it in his voice, and I was like, oh yeah, totally. But I saw them live on one of the Punk-O-Rama tours. That's how I got to know them, was a lot of the Punk-O-Rama compilations. Mm-hmm. And then, but they were a band that I actually ended up buying the full album of theirs, and I was like, holy shit. But yeah, No Cigars, great. Bullion is a great song. Another one of theirs that's incredible. I would love to see Melancholy live again.
Monkey Boogie, great. I remember that one.
Remember Strike? That's like a ska song. They had like fucking Strike. It's all about bowling.
I didn't get crazy deep into Melancholy, but they had some
No Cigar. Hits. Hell yeah, dude.
Fox is a good song.
Yeah. Yeah. So
they had a later one that was really fucking good.
Scoop Them Up, Sum 41. Phoenix TX.
Oh yeah,
I know they're available.
They had a song called Ray that was really good.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the Millencolin today?
They were early on. Like I thought of them as like, I thought, and I don't know if I put it to this terms, but this is the best way I probably viewed them. As a kid, I thought for sure that they were going to be like the next Green Day. Like I felt like they were like hit machines. They legitimately, every album that they put out had like one or two,
yeah,
like
something...
hits.
Something happened with like rock and roll and shit. I don't know what exactly it was, because like, well, it's kind of interesting because like rock was the big thing for a while. Like I remember watching TRL in middle school and high school, and like Yellow Card would get on number one, you'd see a bunch of shit like that. Like you'd have the pop stuff with like Britney Spears and Backstreet Boys and shit, and like J-Lo and Mariah Carey, but you'd also, you know, like if a Yellow Card type band would come out, like they would get in the top 10. And then it hit a certain point where like rap took over. But now it's really interesting because I've been watching, we don't talk a lot about rap, but I'm a huge hip hop fan. So I'll watch a lot of these videos on YouTube breaking down hip hop news and stuff like that. And hip hop's been kind of floundering a little bit because hip hop's actually dipping in popularity. They're substantially, because they used to be like the juggernaut of the music marketplace, and now I think you see it with like country. Well, country's always been the biggest, but it's like
now just country is just fucking R&B or hip hop. Like that's the thing, is if you're saying there's a hip hop dip, I think that Kip, the country music stations are picking up that because they're just doing like old weird like R&B or like weird like
maybe, you know,
it's like popular, but it's like very similar.
I will say this though, because like country essentially, because I remember hearing some country songs like a while ago when dubstep and dance music and stuff was popular, and you'd listen to these country songs and you're like, this is a house song with a fiddle on it. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think country, like a minor asterisk to what, like you're not wrong, but like a minor asterisk to what you're saying is like country essentially adapts to what they'll be like, what's popular? All right, let me sing with a twang, talk about beer in my truck, and we'll play a fucking violin over this and some
yeah.
shit.
Let me just sing about days off. And you're like, yeah, dude, fuck yeah, you're just like me. But you like barbecuing too? Holy fuck, I love this song, man.
But no, I think it's interesting because I think with the advent of streaming and shit like that. I've heard a bunch of people say that in this context, and I don't know if I'm fully saying that right.
I thought advent was that calendar. You know what I'm saying? With the little candies in it, shit like that, like around Christmas time. So I don't know.
I love being your friend.
I'm just saying, I'm on your side. I don't know if that's right or not, but it sounds right. I'll take it.
Yeah, but the whole advent calendar of the streaming situation is like streaming. Dude, you rule. Can I tell you that you fucking rule?
How do you roll? I'm feeling a lot better now.
But no, I think with streaming taking over, it's turning like, cause like you can, what am I trying to say? You can, with how streaming's taking over, you can be into, there's no, sounds aren't created based off of your area and shit like that. Sounds are more created off, because you can listen to fucking everything.
Yeah.
So you can have a band from one part of the world that sounds like a completely other part of the world. And I think also, too, we're just like looking at, if you look at the global landscape, like you're just going to have more, like whatever the fuck Bad Bunny is. Like Bad Bunny is
He's Bad Bunny. Tone. He's like hip hop. He's fucking rap. He's fucking
Dude, ever since wrestling, and then he had this one album cover where it was just him and his boys all rocking the hardest denim with cowboy hats. I was like, Bad Bunny rules. I love that bisexual son of a bitch.
He's bisexual?
He's bisexual as shit.
Good for him. That's really cool. And he's a wrestler. That's really good.
Yeah, but no, it's just I think with the way that music's being consumed, and then apparently I got to dig deeper into it, because I never take like the base level analysis of shit. I try to see like what's the broader picture on shit. But from what it seems like, hip hop's getting severely affected by like TikTok and shit, because you see like the way hip hop is, it's super easy to adapt it to TikTok and have something go viral and shit with that. And it's like, it's because here's the thing, people are like saying it's affecting hip-hop, and I go, no, it's affecting mainstream hip-hop, because the hip-hop I listen to, like I just listened to the new Alchemist album, he fucking rules. I just listened to I'm trying to remember this dude, Boldy James, is like an underground, like the music is really good, you know what I mean, like Run the Jewels put out music in the hip-hop ages, that shit's fucking amazing. It's like what people don't realize is like, no, it's affecting the mainstream hip-hop. And yeah, I don't know. It's just interesting. I forget exactly how we got on this, but it's just, that I was talking about, just how hard rock fell off and stuff like that. Yeah, that's what kind of gets me. Like, I think they're, I don't know if I'm just too locked into the world, but like, I feel like there's something special happening with hardcore that we're going to see something big. Like, because Knock Loose getting big the way they are is kind of crazy to me. And I feel like we're going to see something special with like hardcore in the next 5 years. But generally speaking, when it comes to rock music, it's just kind of like, you know, it just ain't there, dude.
It's getting to a point where I think with like, with the calendar of like BTS and a lot of that Korean shit, you know what I mean? Like a lot of the a lot of the exports and stuff like that becoming popular even in like America and shit, you know what I'm saying? Like it's like, it kind of feels like, and this is maybe me just a little pipe dream speaking patly, but we may be headed towards a world where there isn't a one music that dominates everything. There is like there may be one week, there may be a popular metal song that everybody fucks with. Because that's the thing, is like, it's really cool to see that that pits and like raging in the pits and all the little dance moves we do and all that stuff aren't getting as poo-pooed on anymore. People are like fucking with it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like I, when I see like people understanding, like, oh yeah, that's because that's the thing, is every culture has their silly dance that makes them feel good. Yeah. And it's one of those things that like it's if you realize that like that's just not for you, that's one of those things, but you can still respect the emotion and the energy of the art. Like that's the thing, is that shit bleeds through. Jesus Piece, I feel like, is a band that does that, and Knock Loose are two bands that it is relatable, and you don't have to love the genre. Like you don't have to, like you can,
yeah, you just have to be
performing it, and you can totally go like, wow, that looks like a fucking blast. That makes me want to go and run off the stage and jump into a crowd. Well,
I'm glad you brought that up. It's because why I've been like, beatdown's becoming my favorite genre, because I think the reason, and for beatdown, it's basically the hardcore that's like way more, the way I observe it is, it's like the hardcore that's way more oriented to the live performance. So yeah. When they write the music, they're more thinking about what's going to make the audience go hype as shit.
Right.
So in that process, like, this is why Kublai Khan's getting so popular. Like, I think we were talking about this. I forget if I mentioned this on the last podcast or we were just talking about it at the show, but I think Kublai Khan's the new Every Time I Die, where not in sound specifically, but they're the new hardcore band that dudes like cream themselves over, where you're like, right, like they love the band because the band rules and the dudes in the band are sick.
Right.
You know, that was always the thing where it was like, you'd like Every Time I Die because Keith made you a little gay, and then you wanted to look like Andy Williams. Like, that's but, why.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I wish I could draw like Jordan. And,
yeah. I wish I was as talented as you guys, and and like laid back and so down to earth and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So and then you watch Kublai Khan, you're like, man, I wish I was so fucking chill like Matt. He's so, it was so cool.
Funny when you did that Santa thing in the phone.
I could never think of that. You were so much cooler for thinking of that. I could never think of that. But I think,
mean,
that's
even allegedly Lemaire is a fan. Even, I mean, but I wouldn't believe it. Can't name more than one song. I mean, yeah, you can't name one. But
I would say when someone says name a song, and then you pull up the songs on Spotify to name them,
and they wouldn't argue, have to be told about when the band was in town.
I didn't bring that up. I didn't bring that up on panties. I was like, if you're such a fucking fan, how'd you not know they were there?
Literally, Spotify tells me every time the Bouncing Souls are here. I'm like, I do follow them, but I'm like, I don't need to know every time they're in the area. I like the music a lot. I love them, but I'm like, also like, I don't need to know when they're going to be in Baltimore. I'm not driving to Baltimore.
I'm a huge fan. Andy, make sure you tell me when my favorite band's in town.
Why didn't you tell me that my absolute favorite band that I don't know the names of the members or the... But either way, you're right.
What's your favorite song? Kind of how it goes, but okay.
Yeah, I think that's the one you already named, though.
Oh, but what I was... Wait, let me get back to the point. But let's stop making fun of fucking retarded Lemaire.
I wasn't making fun of anybody. I don't know what you're talking about. I wasn't talking about anybody.
I love Lemaire. I love Lemaire. No, I got to be careful. Fucking... Those pussies get mad when I make fun of them on other podcasts.
Oh yeah, you're right. Oh, this is technically another podcast. This is technically a network and everything, but you know.
Oh, by the way, I think they're getting jealous of our relationship. We should it's really funny. I was like, oh my god, you guys act so fucking cool, like you don't give a fuck. And then when I start doing other podcasts, you're like, what are you doing over there? What are you doing on other podcasts?
I like that music. Why didn't you tell me that show was happening?
Oh, you want a Pat? You want a Pat?
We didn't get a good picture, though. Hey, you know, but anyway, I'm not talking about anybody specific. And I will let him know. I told him from now on, I'll let him know every time.
Yeah. So the point I'm trying to make is, I think why the, like, these more beatdown oriented bands are trending up.
Christ.
But no, the, like, people are sort of identifying with them, and they're having a impact and react, and people are having a big reaction to them, is because it goes beyond just liking the music. The way that they write music to have people dance to it, essentially.
Yeah, you know,
it's why when you could, you know, because I thought of this when you brought up all the Spanish music. You could have this Spanish music you never listen to ever, but you like, let's be real. I joke, reggaeton does kind of suck ass, but if you have a song with like a reggaeton, like reggaeton specifically, where it's all those like air horns and the electronic music, but like that rhythm of like boop, like if you're like, say you're at a fucking festival and you hear that, it's gonna get into you, and you're like, you may not know how to dance, but you're gonna have fun. And it's like, that's the same thing that happens with beatdown music, is you hear it and it brings, just because it's written to get you to move, it ends up moving you.
It literally gives you the physical those types of music, whether it be beatdown music or reggaeton, I think those are two perfect examples of like, They are music genres that you can listen to that you do not have to tell your body how to react. It will handle it. It will do everything. It'll do everything that you need it to do. As soon as you hear that boom, banana, stanana, sting, it's like one of those things where like it looks like you organized a flash mob, but everybody's gonna fucking just like bang, and like they get it. You know, like it's one of those things where like it's just a great feeling. And like when art like moves you emotionally, it's great. But when it can physically move you, and again, those are two that are like undeniable. You cannot help but move when you hear, like, and you will move in the appropriate way because it's just physically actually has that reaction to you. Yeah, that's
great. That coincides with like my favorite type of art, because I've been thinking about this a lot, because I've been listening to a lot more rap, and I've been listening to a lot of Kendrick Lamar lately, and I really like Kendrick, but I'm like, Killer Mike is still my favorite rapper because he writes very smart raps, but I never feel like it's going over my head. Kendrick will write these raps that just sound fun, and then you watch some video of some like hardcore rap fan breaking it down because he's been locked into Kendrick his entire career. And then they break it down and you look at that and you go, oh, that's a crazy line. But also, I would have never known that's what it meant without watching this guy's video.
Yeah.
Killer Mike writes his raps in a way where you don't need to know. Drake's a similar way. You need to know the whole fucking backstory to get some of his lyrics. Killer Mike just writes lyrics in that moment. You go, damn, that's a good fucking line. And it coincides with, it's why I like both of them, but it's why I like this shit better, is a rapper like Killer Mike or a band like Kubla Khan or Knocked Loose is, you don't have to sit there and be like, let me really analyze this. It's like, it just comes at, like, they just take it out of you. And you just, like, you're reacting to it. You're not sitting there figuring it out.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. That's why two of my favorite rappers, you may judge me on this, I don't know, that's okay. I love Ludacris and I love Busta Rhymes. And both for different, like, the same idea.
They're amazing.
Like, but that's what I'm saying, is like, they're a little older. I didn't know, like, you know.
Well, I'll say this about Luke.
They're not funny references. They're very like, Busta Rhymes has that thing where he has the incredible lyricist in him, but also he's somebody that is utilizing his voice as an instrument. So like when you have that, and then you also have something like Ludacris where he can be silly, but also like have very clever rhymes or runs or whatever it is, like that's, those are the things that like, maybe it's simplistic. Maybe it's just, I don't know. Like, I don't know where they stand on the grand scale of like legitimacy, but you're right. They both rule completely, but it's also, they're not necessarily references that are going over my head, but they're also things that are like, they're not too lofty. I don't know how to put it. I don't want to say like they don't have substance, because they obviously do, but it's also like, they have the ability to go over.
That's the hardest like part of analyzing any type of art, where it like, it's inherent in people. Like you see, it's the most obvious with jazz. So let's talk about jazz, because it's the most obvious with jazz, where there's this thing inherent in people where if it's complex and confusing, they have a tendency to lean into being like, well, it must be better. And it's like, that's not always my, now if that's what you like, have fun. But like my analysis of something being good is like, how am I feeling in that moment? Now, like a great example, you ever see the movie Hereditary?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that movie, when you watch it the first time, it's fucking great. It's going to bring big emotions out of you. And I'm not going to spoil it, but if you know, you know.
Yeah.
Because even that movie's been out forever, but it's still one I wouldn't want to spoil for someone.
But it's like, a monkey with a knife on cocaine.
But like Hereditary, the first time you see it, you may not 100% know what the fuck's going on, but it's going to pull something out of you and you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
Then after you're done and you go watch those fucking YouTube videos where they're like, let me explain the ending of Hereditary.
That's what they meant by that.
Yeah, it's like, this is what this meant. So it's like, let me explain Hereditary. And you watch those and they let you in on this whole other subtext that's going on during the movie. And now you can enjoy it on a new level. But if you never had that subtext, you'd still love the movie.
Yeah.
But there's what?
That just reminds me. I did the same thing with that movie Mother with Jennifer Lawrence. And I watched the movie and I fucking hated it. And then I went online and I went to look at the description and they explained all the parts to it and everything. And then I hated it all over again. Give me two completely new reasons. But it was also like one of those things of like, okay, you need to convey that better because that wasn't clear. And also it kind of sucks anyway. So like, the whole thing was like really bad for me, but you're right.
But I think that's like a good way, in my opinion, I think that's a good way to analyze art. Cause actually to bring up another movie by that same guy was Midsommar. I remember when I first saw Midsommar, I was like, this looks cool, but I don't know what the fuck's happening.
You're like, emphasis on mid, am I right, guys?
But when I first watched it, I was like, his visuals are always really cool. And I was like, this looks cool, but I don't know what the fuck's happening. So I didn't really care that much about Midsommar. And then when I watched breakdown videos of it, I was like, oh, that makes more sense. That makes more sense. And it actually made me appreciate the movie more. But I will say this, because now that, you know, people could call me fucking dumb, but I think, you know,
I do it every day.
Exactly. And it's why I cut myself.
I wake up out of a cold sweat and I go, Andy's dumb.
But like from my point of view, that's why I like I think Hereditary is a better movie than Midsommar, because I think when it comes to art, you need to, the base level of it needs to be entertaining, and then the deeper analysis also needs to be entertaining. Because if you don't have that base level entertainment factor, then you're just kind of creating pretentious horse shit, and you're now creating like a cool kids club that's just cringy and annoying, and I fucking hate it.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, that's the thing is, I hate when art has to be explained for me to like it. It's the same way I felt all the time, and we talked about this a little bit when we discussed Tool and Meshuggah. But there's a thing with like every time somebody has told me to go see Tool live, they're like, you got to go see him, and you got to be fucked up. It's gonna be amazing, and it's like, well, then I don't want to like I want to be able to enjoy them sober, and I want to be able to enjoy them the same way of like, so if you're telling me right now you got to go to that show and you got to get fucked up, I'm already out, because now that's too much work. I should be able to just buy a ticket and then be taken away. Like that's the thing. If you go in and you watch the show. When I watched what did I just see recently? Where were we just at? Galactic Empire. Oh, shut up. I saw it. I see that right after I say you're dumb. I go, and he's dumb. Thank God. It's still there.
There it is.
Because every night I have a nightmare. Every day I have a nightmare that you're smart.
I'm smart and you don't have a dick.
Andy's dumb. Okay, good.
I'm glad you said that thing, by the way, about getting fucked up, because you're a fan of getting fucked up. Like, you, throughout the day, run from those feelings. Like, you love getting fucked up. So for you, but no, I respect that.
I want to be told that I have to get fucked up. I want to get fucked up on my own volition. I don't want to have to. I don't want it to be a requirement. By the way, Pat, if you cram like 5 or 6 beers into your head right before this show, you're gonna love it. That's gonna be like, I'm gonna love anything you show me after 5 or 6 beers. Like, it's one of those things.
Most
like,
things fucking rule after 5 or 6 beers.
Right. If I was at a puzzle convention, I'd be like, what the fuck is that? 12,000 pieces? What? That's not even a lot to you guys, is it?
That's too many pieces, and you don't have that many colors to just.
It's like one color.
How do you even figure it out?
Yeah, it's one of those things of it's like anything's going to be amazing if I'm fucked up on hallucinogen, or you know what I'm saying? So it can't be like Galactic Empire was a great show because it was a cool thing to watch, to listen to. And if you wanted to dance to it, you get a little thing. But also they had like fun little interjections where they're like, blah, blah, blah. You had the Star Wars voice. Not Star Wars. He had a Star Wars like voice. I found out, I didn't realize that they didn't actually have like licensed shit. And I think we talked about that last time. Like I went back and I got a sticker here and actually looked at it. And I was like, holy shit. Yeah. None of them are actually. So like, really, they are just really skirting the line, and they're dancing on a line, man. They're fucking around with Disney. But that's a great show, whether you're on your first beer or you're on your sixth beer. It's just a good show. But then you can actually look into like the effort that they put into it, and you can enjoy it for much more as a stage show as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you don't have to get fucked up, but you can if you want.
I'm on Galactic Empire's website. I actually didn't realize how fucking
close.
How clever they skirt the line, though. That's like impressive.
Very impressive. And that's the thing, is like it is. And it's a fucking great show. Like, so if they're able to legally do that, then yeah, dude, they should be the biggest band in the world because.
Well, no, we talked about it last time. Legally, they are locked in because you are legally allowed. If you're covering it, you're legally allowed to do your damn thing. And then if everything is different enough, because I imagine Star Wars, like Disney doesn't own the term Galactic Empire. I mean, if they did, that probably wouldn't be their name.
Yeah.
And then. Yeah, it's not illegal to have a bunch of Star Wars inspired shit.
Yeah, yeah. So it's really cool that they can skirt that, they're that smart with it that they can put on a great show and also not have to worry about people having to get fucked up, so they can have kids there too.
This t-shirt rules. I just like how I was looking through all their t-shirts, and I just like how there's one dude who just rocks a cowboy hat the whole time.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, he's got a little he's a little space cowboy.
Well, I like this because this guy has a Doctor Doom feeling, but he's doing the Darth Vader hand. This is the only one that I feel like would get him in trouble, because this one down here is close,
very close, but also like close enough to where like he also kind of looks like just a like it's kind of a take on a knight. You know what I mean? It's like a knight's helmet, but that's but that's what I'm saying is like it has to be, like you said, enjoyable on multiple, like you have to be able to be accessible and enjoyable for somebody just to listen to you or watch your media. And then you can actually go into it and be like, wow, they actually did this much effort. But I also don't feel like you should have to have it explained to you. But I do. I love that perspective of people like, this is what the director meant. Like, well, I didn't get that at all.
Well, yeah, no. And that goes back to my point earlier. I think there should be. It's like that. Whenever you see a diagram where they use like an iceberg, it's like the base level should have one way to enjoy it. And then if you want to go deeper, there should be another way to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Can I just make a comment? I just thought about this. All right. Have a great weekend.
Anyway, see you guys.
Anyway, bye.
Bye.
No, looking up this Galactic Empire merch, it reminded me of a grievance I had with record labels' websites. So like record labels, they'll have, you know, Pure Noise has been out for a while, and they've done, and away with some of these like smaller record labels, they'll do a lot of like one-offs here or there, or they'll do merch for these bands or something like that. So they end up getting, while they don't necessarily have a shit ton of active bands, with doing the merch and stuff like that, they'll get a lot of bands in the mix. And I noticed a lot of times on the web, you'll go to these websites and here, right here, it says artists. And it's just like, dude, that's so fucking many.
Oh, man.
It's just like,
they don't have pictures next to them or anything. Like, that's weird to like just look at a list of names. Like,
There's pictures here. But okay, I was thinking about this, and it's like, I don't feel like all of these bands are your active main bands. And it's like, they should do it how, if you go on WWE's website, they'll have their active roster and then they'll have like their legends.
More bands, have like things that you have worked on in the past, like the releases from the past. Yeah, I totally get that. Yeah.
Yeah, I just feel like record labels should organize that shit a lot better, but that's just a side complaint. Anything else you wanted to talk about?
Did you want to talk about that Sublime thing?
No, what was that? Can I piss real quick?
No, actually, I'd prefer you don't.
All right.
Okay. So I don't know why you ask. Go for it, buddy. It's your show too. There was a clip that I sent Andy, and it's pretty interesting that I'm seeing this a lot more with bands nowadays. I don't know if anybody saw, because we talk about in the past about like Operation Ivy, like all the members are alive. Why wouldn't you rejoin each other? Like, why wouldn't you have these reunions? Or why wouldn't, not just for the beneficial, like not just the monetary gain, but the fact for like the, your fans, like somebody that's been as loyal to a band like Operation Ivy, or I'm trying to think of another example that we've talked about in the past, but like bands that you're like, there's no Oasis would be another one. Like as far as more popular bands would be a good example of bands that like the members are still around, like not just for the monetary gain, but also just the fact that like, can't you just put, maybe if there are differences, can't you put them aside or whatever it is, just make it happen. But there is a weird thing. What about bands that are still playing that have lost members? So we talked about Andy and I sent him a clip of, I think his name is also Bradley, but it's Bradley Knowles' son fronting Sublime. And it is, I don't know if we can, if we'll actually play the clip or not, but it is original Sublime lineup with Bradley Knowles' son, Jacob. Jacob Knowles, that's his name. So, so Andy, the way I started talking about this was the fact that
it was so funny. Steph was so excited to fucking start laundry. She like barged in. I was like, "Oh, we're not done." She's like, "Fuck."
Yeah, we still have to talk about Swine. No, there is a the way I talked about it was like we've brought up in the past, like why bands would be so selfish to have all of their original members around, but not actually doing a reunion tour, not just for monetary gain, but for the fans. But then I brought up the fact of about what about bands that are still touring that have members that have passed away, like Wu-Tang Clan or Sublime. So I watched, I don't know if you watched a clip I sent you or not, but there is it's Bradley Knowles' son from Bradley Knowles from Sublime, the guy who did heroin until he died. He his son.
That's how it works half the time.
Who, like, okay, so this is the only part that does kind of bother me about this stuff. It's weird how much they're trying to be like their father. So I've recently watched Johnny Cash's Johnny Cash's grandson doing a cover of Folsom City Blues, and they're like, it's incredible how much Johnny Cash's grandson sounds exactly like him, and he's like really fat and he's got a big beard and shit like that, but he looks a lot like Johnny Cash. And then Bradley Knowles' son sitting there playing with his fucking shirt off.
Can I say something real quick?
Please go ahead.
It's not crazy that he sounds like Johnny Cash. He's literally got his DNA in him.
But it's weird how much he's trying to like
specifically sound like Johnny Cash.
Yeah, yeah. He seems like he's putting extra Johnny Cash on it. Again, he's not. So I listened to.
Sir, I'm gonna need to send this back. You put too much Johnny Cash on it.
Yeah, I asked for light Johnny Cash, and you gave me. I don't understand even how that works. It's on the receipt.
I don't know, dude. It was
how much Johnny Cash do you normally put on this? I mean, like this is crazy. If this is light. I speak to your manager. No, it's what's his face? Damn, I can't remember his name, but it's Willie Nelson's son. I think his name's also Jacob or something like that. I can't remember what his band is actually pretty fuck. It's God damn it. I can't remember his fucking son's name. Willie Nelson's son sounds a lot like him, but it doesn't sound like he's doing a Willie Nelson impression. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
So like Johnny Cash's grandson is doing a Folsom City Blues. Jacob Knoll is, by the way, if he is, does he have to play guitar? Because Bradley Knoll was an excellent guitar player too. Is he as good as him and guitar as well? Like in the clip that I sent you, it's him playing guitar and leading Sublime, the other two original members, and it seems like he's doing an impression of his dad. Like it's weird. And I also brought it up with Wu-Tang Clan performing live recently and having OD Young Dirty Bastard, apparently his name is, which is really funny. ODB's one of many of ODB's sons looks a lot like a young ODB and sounds a lot like him as well. So like, it's really interesting that, that all of these artists' children are taking like, not just, not just going into music, but almost like taking their spot in the original lineup of their band.
Yeah.
That's kind of really strange. That's the thing that's, I guess, the most interesting thing to me.
I wouldn't say it's strange. It actually makes a lot more sense than I think you... I think it makes a lot of sense, actually, because, like, I'm thinking from... what's Bradley Knoll's kid's name?
Sorry, Lucas Nelson is the guy I was trying to think of. Jacob. Jacob Knoll is his name.
But,
shut up. I already knew it. I knew I didn't answer the right question. I was doing my own
research. Thank God we got Willie Nelson's grandson's name.
Lucas Nelson and the Sound of Something Real is a great fucking band. I suggest you check them out. But anyway.
I will.
but shit, sorry.
I forgot his name, though.
hold on. It's Lucas Nelson.
But within the case of Bradley Knoll's kid.
Yeah.
I got to imagine it's like, you know, I'm pretty sure he died before his kid was like forming too many core memories, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So it's probably something weird growing up with, like, it's got to be weird as hell growing up with a famous dad who you've never met, but all these other people have these like intense memories associated with him. Mm-hmm. And so that probably creates like an identity crisis. I know you see it with,
yeah.
You see it with a lot of kids in general. Like, we could talk about famous kids, but you see it in real life. A lot of kids in general follow the footsteps of their dad, like, and shit like that. I'm starting to read comics. That was a big thing. My dad, you're going to die young.
I'm already gay and I got AIDS. But I haven't told my wife yet. Gotta wait till we have three kids.
But no, it's like a lot of kids fall in the footsteps of their parents, because like you grow up and like whether they're good or bad or perfect or imperfect, most kids look at their parents like, you're the fucking man, dude. You know, and so it's got to be weird as fuck growing up with, you never really met your dad, but he is famous and all these people have these memories with it.
Yeah.
It's like, so now your hero is the guy who plays the guitar. So now you want to play the guitar and your dad's band happens to still be around. And they were probably like, do you want to play guitar? And that's probably like the biggest honor for him. You know what I mean?
That's a really good point too, because if you are somebody who is famous that has a child and then you die young, all they can do is not necessarily take after your, like you said, you're dying. They're dying probably when they're super young or can't even remember anything about them, so there's no real traits that you can pick up by them except for what they know from, like, from society, from like their entertainment, you know, legacy. So that is all of the traits that he's trying to pick up to follow in his footsteps, because there was no like life lessons passed down, like stuff like that.
And
so
also,
he has that same, I think you're right though, like they're identifying with, especially Johnny Cash's fucking grandson. He's just like, yeah, I can do a sick ass Johnny Cash impression. So I'm gonna sit here and go, well, here a train of coming. And they're like, that's his cum, dude. It's fucking crazy. That's his fucking cum. You know, that's it. It's really what it is. You're like, oh my God, that's Bradley Knoll's cum. You see that? It sounds so much like Bradley Knoll.
Your cum sounds just like his cum sounds just like him.
Yeah, like if you listen to my comment, it'd be like,
yeah, and even in like the least charitable. Now I'm not gonna put this on Johnny Cash's son or grandson, whoever it was. In the least charitable interpretation of this, you could look at that and just be like, he's probably like, I can play guitar, I sound like Johnny Cash, I can make mad money going out being like Johnny Cash's grandson playing Johnny Cash.
Yeah. Like,
it's not that specifically, but that's just like the least charitable version of this.
But I guarantee the flyers say Cash. You know what I'm saying? Like, they say Cash and they have a picture of him. And they're like, wait a minute. What's his name?
I guarantee you the flyers say grandson of Johnny Cash. What's his name?
I think it's Donnie Cash.
Donnie?
No.
Oh.
I can't do that to you.
Dude, I deleted it. I 100% typed out Donnie in Google after you said that.
Yeah, I think it's Donnie or Yanni. Yanni Cash, I think. It's Y-A-N-N-I.
Thomas Gabriel.
Thomas Gabriel Cash. So he's Tack? No, Tagek? Nope, that doesn't work. You got to go with Cash. Gabriel Cash is pretty fucking, that goes hard.
Gabriel Cash.
Yeah, instead of no, Thomas
Cash. He's just John, he's just Thomas Gabriel.
Oh, so he doesn't even use Cash at all.
No. I wonder what his real.
What a douchebag. Come on, man.
Well, no, think about it. Johnny Cash. That's your problem.
No, I will not.
You don't fucking think that.
You're asking me to consider something? Fuck off, dude. This is America, man.
Yeah, but think about it. Johnny Cash probably had a girl, and then that girl got married to someone with the last name Gabriel, and then had a kid. Yeah, you see how that fucking works, Pat? Why is he using the name Cash?
But I'm saying, like, his performing, like, is you're gonna go out as. That's your stage name. Tommy
gotta
Cash.
Gotta be your own man, dude.
He's not, though. He's doing Folsom City Blues. Like, what the fuck? You can't, like it's one of those things of, like...
Does you're he just play that the whole show? He plays Folsom City Blues the whole show, Pat?
He does really sound slow.
He sounds real slow? Stupid.
He goes, That's what he does. So, like, it takes him a whole set.
He probably plays his own song and then covers Wholesome Folsom City Blues so people give a shit about him.
I call this one Folsom City is Chopped and Screwed.
What if Johnny Cash and
he looks pretty fat though. He's a pretty fat guy though.
He's not that fat.
Jacob Noel looks like a young Bradley Noel. And that's what I'm saying. He's like it looks like he's cosplaying his dad. Whereas, like, and like a young Dirty Bastard, kind of same idea. But again, he just looks like him and he's dressing like a hip hop guy. It's not like he's wearing his same clothes. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He's not wearing his like uniform or anything.
I'm looking up Jacob Noel.
Yeah, Jacob Noel. He's wearing like, you know, like cargo shorts, no shirt, you know, boxers pulled up. Like, he's like like a teenager in our childhood, like like back when we were kids, like how people that dressed that were comfortable enough to not wear a shirt in public would, like him. By the way, a lot of times that I saw of clips of Sublime Live, it looked like they kind of sucked, like as far as like him getting, you know, like performance wise, but I do attribute that to the recording. So,
the heroin, you mean? Probably and the heroin
tripping over his fucking dog was just laying on stage. Like, what a weirdo, man.
Well, the thing about, correct me if I'm wrong, but the thing about Sublime is like he actually died right when they were starting to blow up.
Yeah.
So they were still kind of new and he's on heroin. So, like, they were probably not the greatest band live.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. Lots of heroin in there. So I don't know if his son's following in the footsteps or anything like that, but let's stay away from the track marks, fellas, and let's keep up the good work because he does sound a lot like him.
Fuck yeah, dude. All right.
Hell yeah.
We fucking did it.
I did it. I did a lot of it, and I'm really happy that I did it, but I think you did most. I mean, yeah, it's about 50-50. We did all right.
Oh, damn. We done did it to the best of our done doing it. So yeah. Let's fucking get out of here. Guys, gals. Everyone in between, thanks for hanging out with us. We will see you back here next Sunday. Sorry for the lack of the new music streams, but bro,
we're busy boys.
We're busy bitches. That's what happens. Go check out new music. Thanks for hanging out. We love you all. Have a good one. Be about a peace.